I do apologize for the length of the meetings. I was hoping to actually cut them short. This is a bad time of year for me to be here with March Madness in progress. I thoroughly enjoy that, but also enjoying this here. And I was telling Eric on the way up the thing, I just wonder if the devil is working. I went to bed at 10:30, woke up at 11:30, couldn't get back to sleep. I was just wide awake. I don't know why. Tried to fake it and tried to go back to sleep. But anyway, if you can turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 20. And we will try the same exercise. So look over the chapter and see if you can find the verse I'm thinking about. Dave, I heard that now. If you were in my class, I would have to have issue with you. That's okay. That's cool. It's like I used to tell my students, if you do it, just make sure I'm not looking. One kid shot a spitball and he was looking right at me before he shot it. I had a meeting with his parents. I said, hey, look, could you tell your son if he's going to shoot a spitball, wait till I'm not looking? I mean, come on now. Chapter 20, put your hand up if you think you have it. I forget your first name.
David.
Verse 9, could you read that, please? Okay. I hope I'm not stretching it. I don't think I am. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ in creation in the book of Proverbs. His pre-existence, which He always has been. We had the Lord Jesus Christ in His incarnation. There are those that make themselves rich yet have nothing. And then there are those that make themselves poor and yet have great riches. I don't know how you could read that verse and not think of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth, taking on the form of a bondservant so that we could be the wealthiest people in the world. And then I was thinking the next step would lead us to redemption or to the cross. And we have it in the form of a question here. Who can say I've made my heart clean and I am pure from my sin? Obviously, most of us in here probably wouldn't know how to answer that question. But most people perhaps in the world don't even think about that question. And I think we could sit here and praise the Lord that you and I have contemplated that question, but the obvious answer is nobody. There really is, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you've come to the cross, you realize the fact, first of all, you have to realize your own sin. I don't think you can get saved and not realize the fact that you've offended God, you're a sinner. Oftentimes we use that verse, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I think we could perhaps all agree on the universality of sin. But think of the hopeless situation if there, again, we can now look back and say, praise the Lord, we do have an answer for that question. But if the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection and His shedding His blood never had taken place, it would be a rather hopeless situation. And I was thinking, one of the things that would be rather hopeless is that we would not be able to enter into God's presence. And what would that mean? I mean, because you know that if our heart is not clean and we are not purged from our sin, that that would keep us from God's presence. And one of my favorite verses in the Psalms is in Psalm 16, and it talks about how in His presence there will be delight forevermore. Which again takes us back to Psalm 8, which talks about His desire to want to delight in us. But not being able to go into God's presence, I think to me, is a very depressing and hopeless type of situation. I'm not entered in. We would not be able to come intimate with God. I think about the human heart, the natural heart of man, the science world, and the world of psychology would like to try and tell you that man is basically a product of his environment, that man is basically good. If we can change man's environment, then we could perhaps create some sort of utopia here on Earth where everybody's just going to get along and we'll just all love one another. But the Bible's a little different. When you think about that verse, the heart is deceitful above all things. Okay, you've heard the verse before, maybe, that the heart is deceitful. And when we started this series, we talked about all things that thou can desire. And Dave, what'd you say? It's like an open...
Fill in the blank.
Here it says, above all things. It's almost like another fill in the blank. That our hearts are, in the natural realm, are deceitful. In other words, you can't trust it. You hear people that say, follow after your heart. Follow what your heart says. And the Bible is saying completely opposite. That the heart is deceitful. And then it goes on to say, is desperately wicked. I just want to praise the Lord right now that I have the answer to this question in Proverbs. That I can say, not that I can make my heart clean because I can't. I can't make myself pure from my sin, but I know the one who has done it and has made all the difference in the world. The word here, the heart is deceitful above all things in Jeremiah 17:9, it's the Hebrew word that means incurably sick. So without the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, this was the state of my heart was incurably sick. There was no medicine. There was no material possession. There was no person that could do anything about my heart, spiritually speaking. This is why the book of Proverbs told us that we are to guard our hearts. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, knows what our hearts are capable of. He tells us to guard our hearts, for out of it are the issues of life. And I think one of the things that we need to be careful now that our hearts are clean, that doesn't mean that our hearts can't become hardened. It doesn't mean that our hearts can't become cold, because I believe they can. The Bible tells us that we are capable of grieving the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells me that I'm capable of quenching the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that if we were honest, that on Sunday morning when we come and we have everything that looks good outwardly, but inside we're not right. The Lord Jesus Christ was able to diagnose that with the Pharisees time and time again when He came down hard on them. He said, hey, look, you got the outside looking good. But then He said, inside, you're like full of dead man's bones. And He talked about what, obviously, those people weren't saved. But I often wonder sometimes, do we come on Sunday morning and know that there's going to be other Christians here and know how we're supposed to behave. But on the inside, our heart is cold and hard towards the Lord Jesus Christ who's cleansed it. You think of the heart. I think of this verse for a minute. Think of a 14-year-old writing Psalm 23, if that was his age. That's pretty impressive. I mean, if you ever read the journals of Jim Elliot, those are pretty impressive. 17-year-old, I mean, he had pretty deep spiritual insight. And then there's a verse that said that David, when God rejected the kingdom from Saul, David was a man after God's own heart. That's a tremendous verse. But if David was a man after God's own heart, does that mean that David's heart wasn't like the one described in Jeremiah, deceitful or desperately wicked? Think about it. Obviously, he didn't have the Spirit of God the way we have it, but the Spirit came upon him, and God himself said that David was a man after his own heart. He was capable of not only taking someone else's wife, but I think even the higher crime was what he did to Uriah the Hittite, where it says that when Uriah comes back and the man's been fighting for him. It's amazing. David tries to set him up. Go to your wife Bathsheba. He sleeps on the steps. I can't do that. My guys are out there. How can I do that? David even gets him drunk the second time. You know when you get drunk, supposedly your inhibitions. Not Uriah. So now he has to send word to Joab and say, hey, put him in the fiercest fighting and has him killed. Here is a man after God's own heart. But yet, he was capable of some great wickedness. He believed some lies. He deceived himself. It was desperately wicked. The reason why I bring this up is because to me, you ask yourself, how does this verse talk about the Lord Jesus Christ? And I think what it does is it tells us of our need for a Savior. We can look back now in retrospect and say, yes, this verse does point to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ in the sense that I can go to the cross and become pure from my sin. I could be sprinkled from an evil conscience. And I also can be renewed or regenerated, as the Bible puts it, regenerated. I can have new life in me through the Holy Spirit. That is huge. The Lord knows that He has to deal with the heart. It's the heart that confession is made unto salvation, isn't it? Why, when He makes a new covenant in Israel, what does He say about them? Let me just read these to you. In Ezekiel 36:26, he says this, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. He knows that the only way perhaps the Jews are going to come to him, he has to deal with their hearts. Ezekiel 11:19, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. Jeremiah 24:7 says this, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Salvation is a heart issue. It's dealing with the heart. It's the conviction in our heart of our sin and of righteousness and perhaps of the judgment to come. And Hebrews 8:9 confirms the new covenant that the Lord's going to make with the Jews. He says, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord, for this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So there's coming a day, I believe, that this is going to actually be fulfilled for Israel. I believe that. But I ask myself this question: what has the cross of Christ done for my heart? My desperately wicked heart, what has it done? Well, as I told you before, in Titus 3:5, it talks about not by works of righteousness, you're familiar with that, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The word regeneration means a spiritual renovation or restoration. I believe that that's the cleansing and the new life that the Lord Jesus Christ has put into me. You know, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of new things. Isn't there? But you know what's great about now? What's great about now is that when you get saved, He gives you a new heart. That's awesome. It's not artificial. It's not mechanical. And it doesn't depend on a load of medications that make it beep. The Bible says that we have a new heart, that we've been regenerated, we've been renovated, old things have passed away, and everything has become new. Now, for the sake of time, in Romans chapter 5, I just want to read those verses. A few verses, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You guys familiar with that section? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now listen to this. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given to us. Think of the implications of that verse right there. Think of what your life would be without that. The Bible, I just said it, our hearts, it says, are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. We've been not only justified by faith, where we no longer have to stand under the condemnation, we can have peace with God. But look at that verse and think of the potential of you and I and of our hearts. It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. Who can say I've made my heart clean? Not only is my heart clean, but now the love of God is in my heart. Do you get convicted when you read a verse when it says something like you have the mind of Christ? I do. Because I start thinking, wow, I've got the mind of Christ. But then I say, Bill, how often do you think like Christ? But the Bible tells me I have the mind of Christ. How often am I thinking and using that wisdom, you might say, like the Lord Jesus Christ? And to me, just like we can have the mind of Christ, as it says in Philippians, to me it says right here in Romans 5, that you and I have the love of God. Well, to me, this is where you can actually apply the verse of wanting to make yourself poor so that others might be made rich. Because that is not a natural thing to do. But when you have the love of God in your heart through the Holy Spirit, it should make you and I different people. Not only is our heart clean and new, but the Bible says that we have the love of God in our hearts. I want to read this story to you. Story I got at work. It's touched me. And I hope maybe it will have the same effect on you. I hope I can make it through it. It says, in Phoenix, Arizona, a 26-year-old mother stared down at her 6-year-old son who was dying of terminal leukemia. Although her heart was filled with sadness, she also had a strong feeling of determination. Like any parent, she wanted her son to grow up and fulfill his dreams. Now that was no longer possible. The leukemia would see to that, but she still wanted her son's dream to come true. She took her son's hand and asked, "Billy, have you ever thought about what you wanted to be once you grow up? Do you ever dream about what you would do with your life?" "Mommy, I've always wanted to be a fireman when I grow up," Billy said. Mom smiled back and said, "Let's see if we can make your wish come true." Later that day, she went to a local fire department in Phoenix, Arizona, where she met Fireman Bob, who had a heart as big as Phoenix. She explained her son's final wish and asked if it might be possible to give her 6-year-old son a ride around the block on a fire engine. Fireman Bob said, "Look, we can do better than that. If you'll have your son ready at 7 a.m. on Wednesday, we'll make him an honorary fireman for the whole day. He can come down to the fire station, eat with us, go out on fire calls, the whole 9 yards. And if you give us his sizes, we'll get him a real fireman uniform for him, with a real fire hat, not a toy one, with the emblem of the Phoenix Fire Department on it, a yellow sticker like we wear in rubber boots. They're all manufactured right here in Phoenix, so we can get them fast." 3 days later, Fireman Bob picked up Billy, dressed him in his uniform, and escorted him from his hospital bed to the waiting hook and ladder truck. Billy got to sit on the back of the truck and help steer it back to the fire station. He was in heaven. There were 3 fire calls in Phoenix that day, and Billy got to go out on all 3 calls. He rode in the different fire engines, the paramedics van, and even the fire chief's car. He was also videotaped for the local news program. Having his dream come true with all the love and attention that was lavished upon him so deeply touched Billy that he lived 3 months longer than any doctor thought possible. One night, all his vital signs began to drop dramatically, and the head nurse, who believed in the hospice concept, thought that no one should die alone, began to call the family members to the hospital. Then she remembered the day Billy had spent as a fireman, so she called Fireman Bob and asked if it would be possible to send a fireman in uniform to the hospital to be with Billy as he made his transition. Fireman Bob replied, "We can do better than that. We'll be there in 5 minutes. Will you please do me a favor? When you hear the sirens screaming and you see the lights flashing, we'll announce over the PA system that there is not a fire. It's the department coming to see one of its finest members one more time. And will you open the window to his room?" About 5 minutes later, a hook and ladder truck arrived at the hospital and extended its ladder up to Billy's 3rd-floor open window. 16 firefighters climbed up the ladder into Billy's room. With his mother's permission, they hugged him and held him and told him how much they loved him. With his dying breath, Billy looked up at Fireman Bob and said, "Am I really a fireman now?" "Yes, you are, Billy," the chief said. With those words, Billy smiled and closed his eyes one last time. Uplifting stories like this, and then they comment, "This was given to us at work." The reason why I share this story is because there was one phrase in it. And that's about Fireman Bob. It said Fireman Bob had a heart as big as Phoenix. And I believe that as Christians, that should be characteristic of each and every one of our hearts. You know, and if it's not, the book tells us in Peter that you've forgotten. You've forgotten that you were forgiven for your sins. You haven't remembered. Because if these things aren't growing and getting bigger in your life, if you're not adding to these things, faith, virtue, and all that, you've forgotten. Fireman Bob had a heart as big as Phoenix. And there's really no excuse for us. If the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts and our hearts have been cleansed and we've been made pure from our sin, there's no reason why we cannot be involved in something like this for others. The other thing that really hits me is the phrase that he kept saying, you know what, we can do better than that. We can do better than that. That should be characteristic of every Christian. You know, you read about the Lord's teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Hey, if they ask you to go 1 mile, go 2. If they want to take your tunic, don't just give them your tunic, give them your cloak also. You want my shirt? Here, take my jacket too. I don't need it. You know, there's a lot of non-Christians, and you might even know some. I can remember when some people, I don't think my dad was saved, but I heard someone say one time he'd give you the shirt off his back. Shouldn't that be characteristics of you and me? Greater love has no man than this. You have the mind of Christ, but you also have the love of Christ. Your heart's been changed. You have the love of Christ. Greater love has no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. That is an awesome story right there of the difference that those firemen made, not only in Billy's life, but what, think about the impact that that was going to make on that woman, that young mother, 26. I can't imagine losing a child to leukemia. I just can't. I can't. I look at my children. I see the love I have for my children. I just don't. Just to see them suffer would be hard for me. But then to be ministered to the way they were ministered to. And you know, John, 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And the Bible tells us, just the last verse in 1 Corinthians 13, that love never fails. Again, if you were to say, Bill, what do you think are some of the problems that we face in the assemblies? I'm not this traveling speaker. I don't go to all the assemblies all over, but I've been in a few. And I would say, here's another issue. Do we have big hearts? Do we have people in our assembly like Fireman Bob? And to me, when you can do something like that for somebody else, it means so much more than what we could say. But then we will have the right to say something. And it doesn't take, to me, a whole lot. I think if you had a willing heart, the Lord provides you opportunities every day, even if it's a little thing on the job, of being able to make a difference in someone else's life. I'm just thankful this morning when I've come to the cross. Look, it's coming back to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where He's cleansed my heart. He's made me pure from my sin. But that one verse that says that I have the love of God in my heart from the Holy Spirit. I don't know where I would be today without that, to be honest with you. My life would be miserable. It would not be worth living without having the love of Christ in my heart. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You for this time. We can look into Your Word, Lord. We thank You that there's many challenges. We thank You that You've forgiven our sins and that You've given us new hearts. And we look forward to the day that Your people will get saved. It's in the Lord Jesus' name we pray.